Good morning. We've reached a time in our lesson on the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is giving warnings of not only what it takes to be his follower and serving him and doing what he's asked, but also that we would be warned about in Matthew 7, the beginning, where he talks about not being hypocrites in the process of serving God, loving God, and benefiting those who hear the message you share and teach. Then he'll talk a little bit about, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, he's going to give us the warnings of the false teachers that are out there, even today. There's no surprise that there will be men who will rise up and teach error and not teach the truth. And we need to be aware of these men. God also will say in Matthew 7, again, he's laying out this message to finally conclude where we know the parable on the wise and the foolish builders. And so next week we'll discuss this, but I want to bring out something that personally strikes my soul, and I pray that we will take the words of Jesus serious and really grasp who he is to us. Take this personally. In Matthew 7:21, verses 23 will be the lesson text. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity.'" It's going to be more than words that are going to get us in heaven. In fact, I have 3 points today. Jesus said, it's not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," but only he who does the will of my Father. So we need to know the will of God. We need to know God's will, because those are the ones who will get to be with God forever. And then just that, the deception of religious words. That's the second point. The deception of saying things religiously before the throne of God. And then the rejection on that day, which that's a terrifying thought for anybody. And for me to convey to you, can you imagine the thought of going before the throne of God, all excited and pumped up that you believed you were doing God's will, and then he say, "I never knew you." So knowing God's will, and I want to emphasize this part of the message, because we need to know God's will. Now, am I going to be able to preach all the entirety of God's will perfectly? Somebody knows better than me on this earth. There's always going to be somebody better than us in what we convey. But I pray that what I convey will prove the point of why we can't just say, "Lord, Lord," in life. In 2 Peter 3:18, I start with the thought of that. He says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus," or Jesus Christ. "To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity." This is all about Jesus. I want to point out that in this verse, Peter calls Jesus Lord and Savior. Now, I was thinking this morning as we took the Lord's Supper, Jesus is our Savior. He died on the cross for every man's sin. There's no doubt about this. Religiously, belief systems in America, most people believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. Even those who may not be practicing any religious activity believe Jesus died. In America, we've been taught that. There's so many of us that have been taught Jesus died for your sins. The question is how is He Lord of our lives? But only you, He who does the will of my Father, Jesus says. So to understanding Jesus as our Lord means, and defined as, He's the ruler of our life. He's the master. The word Lord can mean controller. Nobody likes to be controlled by anyone, but God as Lord is the controller. If He's truly the Lord of our lives, and we make Him priority. Priority to make Jesus Lord. So it changes how we view Jesus, because these guys were saying, Lord, Lord, we're doing all these incredible things. And He's saying, when you grasp the reality of Jesus being the Lord of your life, you're saying, He's my God. Lord and Savior. To be saved by Jesus, Jesus must be Lord of your life, my life, our lives. He has to be Lord. Because these people said, Lord, Lord. They really thought He was Lord of their lives and the way they were living their lives. And these people were super religious. You know, I think about, for us personally, knowing the Lord's will. When we sing the song, there's songs we sing that I think we really need to deeply consider. And one of those thoughts was, I surrender all. When Jesus is Lord of your life, He's Lord of all areas of your life. Lord of your atmosphere of how you live your life when you go to work. He can't be Lord just on Sundays. That's the point. It isn't just a religious activity. You go on Sunday, say, yep, Jesus is Lord. I took the Lord's Supper. And it's every single day in every area of your whole life. Jesus must be Lord. These are those who do the will of the Father. He says, you know, think about that daily submission of the choices of our will. Because there's so much we want to do as human beings on this earth. And to make Him the ruler of more than what we want to do changes how we perceive Jesus. And that's why these people are saying, didn't we do all these things? We made You the ruler of our life, God, Jesus. It still wasn't good enough. So how do we get the will of God in us? How are we knowing? Well, Jesus said, and I think there's some comfort to this, but there's always a challenge to what Jesus says. In Matthew 11:29, He does say, take My yoke upon you. Take who I am upon you. He says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And Jesus was, there's no doubt about it. The Son of God to hang on the cross and bleed out for all humanity, being the perfect atoning sacrifice. It's a beautiful, humble view for us who believe. But yet, He says that you take Me upon you and you'll find rest for your souls. And so, knowing the will of God is, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, one must have a learner's heart. Because He says, take My yoke upon you. Take Me upon you. Always be willing, no matter how long you've been claiming Jesus as Lord, Lord, that you will always be willing to have a learner's heart before God and with each other. Jesus finished the specific work He was given to do by the Father. And the main part is that He died on the cross in John 19:30. But think about this when we think of what competes with us of finishing the race marked out for us. What does compete with your life in Jesus being Lord of it? Jesus can be Lord of many things in our lives. Maybe when we eat our food, we pray, thank You, God, for the food that we eat. Or, you know, we think consciously we're not going to speed down the road because we know it's not proper for God's people, and we think about these things. Those are good. It's good to be good for God. But it takes every aspect. That's the point. To doing the will of the Father is not about your own idea and what you want to do. You must throw off, right? In Romans 12, he says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's a continual. You have to be, again, I've used the word in the past, but consumed. You have to let God consume all of who you are to have Him Lord of your life. Because there's so much that can come in and choke it out. Like the parable of the sower. They receive the word of God with joy, but they only last a little while. We want to be those who receive the word of joy and produce a fruit 100 times what was sown. Those are the people that Jesus watches. He doesn't watch the people that go to church and go, "Lord, Lord," and then they get out of there and they live their lives whatever way they feel like. It's a continual, everyday lifestyle to be those who, when you go before the throne, God says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because there's going to be days that it's a struggle to be a good, faithful servant to God. The Christian's life requires endurance, for sure, patience, and purpose. There's a purpose. God gives us a purpose as a Christian. Can you imagine if God says, "I'm going to save you and just go sit down in the corner and do whatever you want to do"? That'd be nice. Some days we like to just sit down and relax. But being a Christian, there's never a relaxation moment. Don't get me wrong, we can be relaxed, but notice when we're always about thinking of other people. God puts that in our hearts, that we're always about other people. It's never about ourselves when you're a Christian. Jesus never said, "Oh, God, give me a second. I'm going to go sit down and relax and go fishing for the day and just forget about everything." I'm just saying it like this because this is to be seriously taken. I mean, again, the sobering thing is these people saying, "Lord, Lord," how many people knock at heaven's door? "Lord, Lord." And that's why I had Paul read. There'd be a lot of people knocking on the door, and Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you." Jesus must be Lord of all, making sure nothing takes God's place is the idea. We can't let anything take God's place. Anything in our life, throw it off. If it's something causing you to sin, cut it off. Rid it. Jesus said these things, right, about our own physical bodies. If it's causing you that much distress that you're struggling, shove it off. If it means getting to heaven, that's okay. And then the deception of religious words. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Again, in Luke 6, verse 46, "but don't do what I say." And I think the whole message on the Sermon on the Mount is so applicable for anybody that reads it. If you really want to be Jesus' follower, you're not far from seeing what He says to do. And that's why these people, Jesus is like, "Okay, you're following. Why do you call me Lord if you're not even going to do the things that I'm saying to do?" That's why James 1:22-25 is so powerful, because he says, don't just merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Yes, it's tough. There's days you're like, I have a hard time denying myself to serve people. But Jesus says, do this for me. When you did these things to someone else, you've done it to me. Saying "Lord, Lord" is insufficient. We see that here. At least here. Don't get me wrong. There's days we can say, "Lord, Lord, Lord, please help me. I'm overwhelmed." That's okay, if your heart's right with God. But these people, they went right up to the Lord and said, "Hey, look what we did for you, God. You can't condemn us. We made you Lord of our lives. We did incredible things in your name religiously." It's not sufficient to just say, "Lord, Lord." I think about words. You ever hear the saying, "Actions speak louder than words"? I think there's a point to that. Show me by what you do. faith without deeds is useless. James 2:24. Faith without deeds, I'll say it again, is useless. It does nothing to believe on God on Sunday and do nothing during the week. That's the point. Must follow Jesus' instruction. The Sermon on the Mount is all about that. You know, to just hear it, to hear, okay, I heard chapters 5 through 7 preached to me for the last 8 months. What's dwelling in you? What have you consumed? What have you learned from the message of Jesus? Because these aren't my words. I'm right alongside you. When I read this to you, am I going to be known by my fruit? Am I a good fruited person? Are you a good fruited person? There are those who consider themselves, and you probably have read the info already, but there are those who consider themselves religious and they haven't even kept a tight rein on their tongue. When I think about the deception of religious words, there's so many people that claim God that we bump into, maybe we've had some deep religious conversations with, and they're all about the Bible. They're all about talking about God. And yet, what's missing? Not doing what Jesus says. Not doing what Jesus says to even initially be a Christian, to be saved. The religious world is all about God, and yet they can't even teach somebody the truth of what they need to do to repent and be baptized to have their sins forgiven. And people do deceive themselves. These people did. They made it all the way up to the judgment scene of God and said, "Lord, Lord." They were deceived by the time they got to the judgment day, thinking they were all right before God. These same religious teachers in the Old Covenant, you know, when we talk about watching out for false prophets, there's so many religious groups that are, they preach peace. God is with you. God loves everyone. No one will be condemned on the day of judgment as long as you believe. I think of those who said, peace, peace, in Jeremiah's day. And Jeremiah says, false prophets are going to always come across as everything's fine and dandy. But there really is no peace because they didn't even do what the Bible says to initially be saved. They have convinced themselves that they're serving God. We can never outdo God in serving Him and what He's done for us. We can never serve God enough. It's a continual. We'll never get the job fully done in perfection as God does for us, but we're always called to serve Him in a special way. And not just say things like, oh, I want to do this, oh, I should do this, I got to do this for this person, or I got to go share my faith to help that guy over there and this, and do it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Did we not call on your name? Their religion, they were super religious. Their resume was very impressive. I mean, I don't claim to be a driver out of demons. So on the day of judgment, years past, I thought I did possess some miraculous gifts that are so controversial today in religious groups. I thought I could speak in tongues and drive out demons, okay? But now I know. I know better. I understand the Bible. I understand when the things ceased. But there are those of this day that were driving out demons. You think if anyone's going to heaven, it's the people on earth that were driving out demons in the people's lives. That's a good... Wow. That's awesome. What an awesome resume that would be. And to perform miracles. What an awesome religious guy that guy is that does this. But Jesus says He doesn't even know them. To call Jesus Lord is meaningless. This is the point. If one does not submit to what Jesus says, His authority. We talk about Jesus' authority in Matthew 28. All authority had been given to him. It was given to him in heaven and on earth. We have to submit to Jesus to make him the true Lord of our life. Living godly is not just saying, Lord, Lord, but changing for the Lord. Think about this. As needed. I put as needed. As we grow about as Christians. Remember your earlier days when you were all excited about being a Christian? I'm going to have my sins forgiven. This is awesome. I'm going to tell the world what it means to follow Jesus. What a life. Things creep in. We get choked out sometimes as Christians and say, boy, life is pretty rough, God. God never said it's going to be easy to be his follower. Never. That's why there has to be some denial of self involved. Because if we didn't, none of us would probably even be here. If we could get to heaven by watching TV and relaxing, all the power to us. But that's not what Jesus says. We have to carry this cross and follow him. Knowing the Lord's will is understanding we've been bought at a price. You know, when we take the Lord's Supper each and every first of the week, we have to grasp in knowing God's will that it was because Jesus paid the price for us. Belonging entirely to Jesus. That's him as Lord. When you grasp what he's done, you belong to him. Our purpose in life is redefined. You're not your own. When you're in Christ, I think all of us who are Christians know it's not about you anymore. It's about God's will. And those are the ones, and this is hard to grasp, these are those who do the will of God. And the last point is the rejection on that day. And it's not fun preaching on the judgment scene and throne of God that for all of us, Kevin alluded to it in Philippians, every knee is going to bow before the throne of God. No matter who you are, there's nobody exempt from it. Grasp that. You included. We got to still go before the throne of God and how we've lived our lives as what we've claimed as Christians. He says, I'm not going to know these people. And hopefully none of us. Goodness gracious, if we know each other now and we know each other's faces, we want to see each other with God forever in heaven. That's at least I want to understand this better. I haven't grasped it all, but we want to know each other. But those people that spent time with those people that told them, Lord, Lord, Lord's great to me. And Jesus said, I never knew you. The rejection on that day is, it's a horrifying, it's terrifying. Take it serious. Take your life as the rest of what you have in it serious. For the church and for the person that's just learning about God. This is a serious time. There's a judgment day. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. It's fearful for any of us. To fall into just God's hands and him say, how did you do while you were living on the earth for me? Hey, I called you Lord, Lord a couple times in my life. I'm just trying to drive the point home. It's not just calling on his name. It's living for him. 24/7. Yes, we fall short of God's glory. Even as a Christian, we miss the mark. Get back up. Endure. Because we don't want to fall into the hands of the living God. This includes the religious people around us. There are so many religious people that are so sincere and honest about what they believe about God. These people were. I don't think they were arrogant saying, Lord, Lord. I think they were scared. Like, Lord, Lord. Like, we thought we were serving you. We're doing religious activity that surely we thought was right, and this is how it will be for everybody. I don't know how many times we're going to say Lord on the Day of Judgment. It'll be beautiful to see Him as Lord and say, thank you for letting me enter your kingdom. Thank you for saving me, Lord. These people are those in this rejection, never served God at all. They never, in all of their religious practices, all of their religious belief system, all of what they claimed of God, they never served Him. He didn't serve me. You know, I keep kicking my mind back to Matthew 25, the other judgment scene of the sheep and the goats and the separation. And there were things people said, we did this, we did this, we served the poor, we helped the hungry. Jesus said, whatever you've done to the least of these of mine, you've done to me. If we can at least go over that in our minds, think about the least and do it for them. Who's going to be rejected on the Day of Judgment? Those who will never fully commit to God's will. This is why Jesus said, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. God was not these people's. And I say it this way, and not, I pray for not us, me included, that God was not priority. Is God priority? I think that's a fair question for us to think of in our heads. Are you really the priority of all of who I am, God? And then those who say, Lord, Lord, with excuses, why they practice lawlessness? These are the people on the Day of Judgment. They looked good on the outside. Jesus said, even to the Pharisees, do what they say, but don't do what they do. They looked great. They were saying righteous things. But inside, they were workers of lawlessness. They never fully, and I say this clearly, respectfully, these are people who never fully repented of dogging sin in their life that kept them festering in it, no matter how hard they tried to get out of it. Only Jesus can do this. Jesus as Lord will get us, and He can fix everything. Everything in our life, anything that dogs us, if we really make Him Lord, He can fix it. Those who hide behind a comfortable religious practice, boy, it's just easy to get in the groove religiously, thinking you're A-okay until you read the Sermon on the Mount. Do I pray faithfully? Do I read my Bible? Do I pray for the lost around me? Do I help the sick? These are just some thoughts I'm throwing out there. When you're a Christian, it gets you out of yourself. It gets you out of yourself to not just say, Lord, Lord, every morning in prayer, but to really make Him Lord. When Jesus was never made their Lord are those who say, Lord, Lord. Are you ready to make Jesus Lord of your entire life today? Is He the Lord? Because those are those on the Day of Judgment, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And He won't say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity like these people. Nobody likes to think they're a worker of iniquity, but let me say this. Without the forgiveness of sins, without forgiveness through Jesus' blood, you are a worker of iniquity until it's cleansed, until you are saved. This is why we teach, God's Word teaches, one must repent of their sins. You know what your sins are. If you're not a Christian, It's pretty easy to know what sin is. God puts that in each and every one of our minds and our consciences. We have to repent and change. Be willing to change. Are you going to change overnight everything perfectly? Absolutely not. That's not the command and demand. But there is a command to be baptized to initially have your sins forgiven. This is what Jesus taught in his ministry. This is what we're to teach each other. This is what we're to teach the world. That there is an opportunity for everyone, even those who aren't Christians, to stand up, get up, be baptized, calling on Jesus' name, and have your sins washed away. I will say this, if there's anyone here that needs to study this further and closer, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.